Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. And God, I pray that you would come and teach us. Pray that you would speak through us today, your message. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, have you guys ever thought about the very first town or maybe even the very first person who decided, let's domesticate horses? So, have you ever thought about what that experience was like for the very first person? Bob's wondered about that his whole life. So, maybe you've never thought about it, but can you picture it now? So you see horses out, you know, as a pack out there, or whatever they even call horses, I don't know. Herd of horses, apparently. Okay, so you see a herd of horses, and the first guy to tame a horse may have thought it was a mistake at some point. I'm sure it was not easy to do. But to domesticate horses is even a step further than just taming one wild horse. It's this idea of we're going to bring horses into this community and make them a part of our lives, and we're going to start raising them, and we're going to start using them for all sorts of stuff. And so even though it was probably really, really hard for the first town or the first group of people to do that, they changed the whole world by doing that. I mean, they changed the way people communicate with each other, the way agriculture worked, the type of land that could be farmed. They changed how fast news traveled. They changed the way wars were fought. All sorts of stuff changed. When we like to lift up like Steve Jobs for giving us a different phone or something, but I mean the group of people that domesticated the horse, I mean that changed all of civilization. So something they didn't know when they got started, but I bet it didn't happen in weeks. I bet it took years or decades to domesticate horses. But something that was in their favor was a fact about horses you guys might not know either. So a herd of horses, I've not seen this myself, but I've read about it. When they're walking, it's typically a group of females, and one male or one stallion will be in a herd. But the alpha female will walk in front always, wherever they go. The like top dog, the best or the strongest female, followed by all of her daughters, however many she has. And then number two in the pecking order will be right behind her with her daughters, and then number three on down the line. Like the whole herd always goes in order. That seems kind of random, it's the way God made horses. But it actually made horses very easy to domesticate, or maybe not easy, but it made them possible to domesticate, unlike some other animals, because human beings could kind of step into that alpha role, and it wasn't that strange. Horses already had this kind of mindset of, oh, you follow the leader, or you obey the leader, you do what the leader wants to do. And so because they had this herd idea, all of that hard work paid off. And we're going to get back to that idea towards the end, but I want to read you a verse about this idea of how do you accomplish something great, like domesticating horses. I know that's not normally what we think of with great. How do you accomplish something really, really big? And I would say that it takes faith. Hebrews defines faith this way. I think it'll make sense what we're talking about here. It says faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So for the first group to domesticate horses or the first person to do all sorts of things, they have to have confidence about something that they're putting their hope in. And they have to actually have assurance about something that's not there yet. You can't blaze a brand new trail or accomplish something amazing in life if you don't have this sort of attitude. You just think, well, I hope we domesticate horses someday. Like, that town is not the one that did it. Or I hope that I'll do something amazing with my life, but I don't really think I will. Those aren't the people that do. So today we're talking about faith, about this confidence, and how do you grow it? We're going to have an opportunity during Sunday school right across the hall in the library. Joe Beebe and Marie Purvis are going to be honored, and that's because of this verse right here. So verse 2 says, this is what the ancients were commended for. So Hebrews 11 tells us about all these heroes from the Old Testament, and it says the great thing about each of these people is that they had faith. And when we think about these ladies that we're going to be celebrating during Sunday school and then during second service, their faith is worth commending. It's worth lifting up. But today, before we get to that, Bob, if somebody's in the audience today and they think like, okay, Jake's talking about horses and he's talking about ancients and what are we really getting at? How do you get started building towards a faith that can change things?
That's very good. And just so you all know, we believe every time we preach, we need to give people a chance just to think about their life with the Lord from the very beginning all the way to where, like Joe and Marie are. Everybody has a beginning point. When I think about mine started when I was 18 years old, and I never went to church, hardly ever. I mean, 10 times in my whole life up until then, and then one day things happened, and zoom, it went together. So let's look at a verse, John 10:10, and it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And I want to think about a thief for just a minute. I said, how many times have I been robbed? How many times have you been robbed, Jake?
I've had stuff stolen from me before.
I've had a few. I have a friend. He and I were friends, still are friends. He broke my jaw in seminary. We were playing basketball, and I tried to grab the ball, and he got to it first and let me know with an elbow right here. And so he was a boxer in the Marines. He was a crazy guy. I could tell you lots of Steve Brown stories. Tough guy. One day he was in the Atlanta airport. A guy pulled a knife on him as he's walking from his car into, said, give me your money. And Steve looked at him and said, put away that before you get hurt. And literally the guy did. He ran off. So that was my friend Steve Brown. And so I think about a thief. If I saw a thief with a guy with a knife, or the guy that broke into my car when I was in New Orleans, or the guy that broke into my office when I lived in Western Louisiana, if I saw a thief like that, they would be very unattractive. However, the thief that comes to me is very attractive. The thief is dressed up and pretty. The thief has things that I want. The thief puts thoughts in my head. So there is a thief, not like the thief with a knife in the Atlanta airport, but there is a thief that comes to kill, steal, and destroy our life. And it looks very pretty, and it is packaged in a way that every one of us sees that thief, and we say, man, this is what I want, okay? And some of us have got what we want only to find out we had climbed all the way up to the top of that ladder to find out it was leaned against the wrong building times 10, right? I want this. I got it. Oh, man, I shouldn't have had it, okay? But the Lord came, and he says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. So Jesus came into this world for us to have a full, rich, abundant life. How do we get it? Well, if we walk side by side with Jesus, it opens the door for him to give us that life. And so the first step of opening the door is getting acquainted. I remember a few years ago, Jake and I did this. We walked over, and I shook his hand, and I said, I'm Bob Spradlin. And he said,
I'm Jake.
Yes, you are.
Jake Taylor, yeah.
And we've had a really nice relationship then. We're friends. We are connected together. I have so much fun saying he's now my pastor, and you are. I work for Jake. Amen. That's right. And those are fun things. And that's actually how you do with the Lord. You get acquainted with the Lord. We call that praying, but it's really just getting acquainted with him. Jesus, come into my life, be my Savior, be my friend. That gets you started. Bruce and I were out front today talking, and I talked about Peter who's getting baptized today. And Bruce said he's just getting started, and you are. The start is that beginning point. So you start, and then you live with him, and you walk with him. So why don't I just leave it at that, and we'll follow up with more later.
Yeah, so you get started with Jesus, start that relationship with him. But how do you get to this spot, where we were talking about Hebrews 11, where you're confident about your life with God, where you say, Jesus wants me to do this thing, so I'm going to do it. Jesus told me to do it, and I believe Jesus' way is best. So I'm actually going to do it. I was talking with a guy, this was a little while ago, and he was talking about how much he wanted his life to change and how he didn't hardly want to live anymore. But then when I gave him some practical steps about like, well, maybe you shouldn't get involved in this romantic relationship or this state of life that you're in, well, he had a bunch of excuses why that was still a good idea. And I talked to him about going with a guy here to some meetings, and he had a lot of reasons why that group of people weren't the right people for him. And I thought, you don't sound very confident that Jesus' way is the best way. You don't sound like you have assurance that what you hope for is gonna really turn out to be true. Like, he said all the right stuff as long as we didn't get into the specifics. And so when we think about this, confidence in what we hope for, assurance about what we don't see, how do we build towards that? Because you don't just start like that. The first moment you're with Jesus is amazing, but you don't just start with, like, I can give up everything in my life and stay with it day in and day out through all the trials. So how do you build into that? And, Bob, I think you've asked Darren to come up. Yeah,
Darren Jackson. Come here, please, sir. So Darren is a great example of what we're talking about here, and we're going to give him a mic.
I got one.
Got one? Perfect. Got it turned on? So the other day, Darren was, you'd been pouring concrete all week and you all had a day off. And he was sitting on the steps right over there, right behind the church. And we were unloading some food that we pick up at Harvesters. And Darren said, "You want some help?" And of course I wanted help. So he helped us unload the food. And then we headed down to have breakfast at the Leeds Diner. We have a couple of our teenagers who work down there. You ought to go there. Food is out of sight. Leeds Diner. We'll give you a map. You have to know how to get there. But once you get there, you'll be glad you did, all right? So, Darren, you and I were talking, and I said, tell me what your morning prayer time looks like. Y'all listen to this. This is really good, okay? So, you're on, sir. You have to hold this thing up real close.
Okay. So the Maple House, I lived at the Maple House for a while, and they taught me how to hit my knees and surrender in the morning, and just surrender to God, and I let God know I'm powerless in my life, my life's unmanageable, and I'm going to turn my will and life over to Him today and let Him run my life today, and then I do a prayer surrendering. And then I play a Christian song while on my knees, and I just, that's how I praise God. I wrote that in the Bible, actually. And it's usually a praise song. You're like, "He reigns this morning" by the Newsboys. I did that this morning, and just letting God know He's number one in my life, and He's in control. And then I'm kind of nervous.
That's all right. We're gonna rehearse it again. It's all right.
And oh yeah. Well, actually, I thank God for several things. Quite often, comparing myself, who I am today, to who I used to be a few years ago, I'm an alcoholic addict, and things got pretty bad. So get very thankful, and then I start praying for others. I learned that, you know. Wednesday night group, we make a list. And Eddie actually taught me the joy thing, you know. Be thankful to God, pray for others, and then pray for myself. And, yeah, I do that list. I pray for Maywood, the Maple House, the men in my house, my family. And then I just sit in silence. And you taught me that. You suggested that here a while back. And I read in Jesus Calling, you know, he talks about that, and I just sit in silence and remembering who He is to me and what He's done for me, you know, and some personal spiritual experiences I've had, and it's just opening that door to God and letting Him in my life, like you were saying earlier, and He's running it, and I gotta let Him know that He's number one, and it lets me know. You know, I got to be honest with myself. So.
Yeah. Let me just, in case you all missed any of that, he challenged me when we were, he wasn't saying, "Now, Bob, I'm going to challenge you." He just did by what he said, you know. And there were a couple of things. One of them is to talk about I'm powerless. And I don't have drug and alcohol issues, but I've got a lot of other issues. And to tell you the truth, the more I try to work with him on my own, I know I'm powerless there. And so his first thing on his knees, God, I'm powerless. I'm not winning this battle by myself. Second thing is, you know, he talked about, Lord, I believe you're a power greater and you can restore me to sanity. I love that phrase. And I need some of that in my own life. Okay. And so, Lord, I am here. I read today in my Bible reading that Jesus said all things are possible with God. So I turned that to you. I said, Lord, you're possible to do that. And then that prayer of surrender, can you pray that prayer of surrender for us or just recite it for us? Because I can't.
God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thy will. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will and take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That is so good. And then, y'all, that's a powerful prayer. God, I'm giving my life to you. And then, worship the Lord, thank the Lord, pray for some people. And this is the one, I taught it to him. He does it, I don't do it. It's really hard for me to sit silent. And so he waits before God. How good can it be when you're there quietly waiting for God to put thoughts in your head and his work in your life? And so if I can go back to the first part is getting started. Lord, I'm through with the thief. The thief has really stolen my life, and I'm through with that. And now today I'm going to add to another thing is that I'm going to do some of Darren's stuff, and that is I'm going to meet with you, and I'm going to confess my needs before you. I'm going to come before you. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to pray. And the reason why he's not going to be in the second service is because he's going out to serve some people at Johnson County Detox and to carry a message of hope to them, he and John together, right? So thank you, sir, so much. We appreciate it tons and tons. One more. Yes, you may.
So, like, when I spend that time alone with God, he's my Father and my Savior. So I have a 13-year-old daughter, and I really like to spend time with her, and that's just how I see it, you know. So.
Come on. That's right. Good. Thank you, sir.
So Darren's an awesome example to us and starts to give us a lot of that specifics on do we really believe this. Bob read it to us straight out of Jesus' mouth. Jesus says there's an enemy out there who wants to steal, kill, and destroy from you. And you can buy into his way of life, or you can buy into Jesus' way of life. And Jesus said, I came to bring you life to the full. Jesus didn't say, I came to make life super easy on you or to indulge your laziness or something like that. But he did promise to bring you life to the full. And so when we hear what Darren does every morning, you think, oh, I don't have time to spend all those moments with God. But if you really are confident that what we all hope for about Jesus is true, that he came to bring us the best life possible, if you're confident in that, don't you have 20 or 30 minutes for Jesus? And if you're sure of it, even though you don't see Jesus right there in front of you in your bedroom or wherever you pray, if you're sure he's there, if you're sure he's your Father, like Darren says, don't you want to spend time with him? So this morning, we actually have a little bit of extra time, so you're going to get a couple of bonus thoughts from us that we actually have some baptisms in the second service, which is great, but they may not get to hear all this. So if you're here today and you think, okay, I'm following God, I'm trying to follow God, but things are running dry for me. I struggle to have this type of faith day in and day out. Something that I stumbled into this week that was a really good experience for me, I went for a walk. This isn't an actual picture, but this is similar to where I was walking. If any of you have ever been in Golden Acres, I don't live there, but I took a walk through there at like 11 o'clock at night the other night, so I'm glad no one got upset or anything about that. But Golden Acres is this little weird neighborhood that doesn't have any street lights. If you've ever been back in there, it's over on kind of just a little bit east of Nolan. So there's no street lights at all. There's just these little lamps in people's yards, so it's really dark. And so I was walking there at night. The reason I was walking is because I'd gotten really stressed about just the same sort of stuff people get stressed about, different responsibilities and pressure and stuff. So I went on a walk, and I tried to spend the time with God, but God laid on my heart to just think through, not in great detail, but think through from the very beginning of my walk with God and just some of the highlights. So I kind of went through ages of when I first came to God and then just started talking with God about things I remember that he had done for me in middle school and in high school and in college, you know, when I was the night that I first moved out of my parents' house and stuff, just all these little stories of me and God. I just started thanking God for all these different times that he had been there for me. And if you've been following God, whether it's 6 months or 60 years, you probably have some stories of times that God has been there for you. And so this, if you need a jump start this week, if you think, man, I need help getting to where Darren is at of daily time with God, then go for a walk with God and just do a recap. Just let's reminisce about where has God been in your life. That was the best part of my week this last week, was wandering around talking that through with God. Because God is incredible. And these little things that he's done throughout your life, I'm sure are incredible. Because they're the pieces we have of him. So last thought for us today. At the very beginning, I was talking about domesticating horses. You guys all know what these are. These are zebras. Yeah. So they're pretty incredible. Just like horses got domesticated, lots of people tried to domesticate zebras. Not just nomadic people. Modern people have tried to domesticate zebras too. Thousands of years people have tried to domesticate zebras. And nobody's done it. People can tame a zebra and put it in a circus or something, but no one's been able to domesticate them and actually say, like, we're going to breed them and have them successfully do stuff for us. And that's because zebras aren't like horses. They look a lot like horses. I mean, obviously, they're a little different, you know, but they look a little fancier maybe. But they've got four legs. They look like you could ride on them. They look strong. They eat grass. They don't have that same herd mentality that with the alpha female stuff that horses have. So there were really dedicated people thousands of years ago trying to domesticate horses, and it took them probably years to do it. But they had this huge payoff. All that confidence, all that hope that they put the work in on had this huge payoff that changed their whole society. There were other people that were just as smart and just as courageous, I'm sure, to deal with big animals like this. And they tried for years and years and decades, and they got nothing. And that's because what they started with wasn't the same. Today in your life, you need faith. You need confidence and assurance if you're going to get somewhere. But you also have to make sure the thing you're investing in isn't a zebra. Like, you have to make sure there is going to be a payoff. That's what faith is about. It's about putting our trust in someone, but that's why putting our trust in God is best. Whatever you put into God, you're going to get something back. There's a lot of things in this world that are like zebras where you could pour your whole life into it and you're never going to get anywhere. You might have a circus show at the end, but you're not going to have anything productive. So today, decide what you want to invest in and then invest in it. Say, God, I want to give my life to you. I'm not just going to talk about it. I'm going to be like Darren and be about it. In the mornings, I'm going to spend time with you. Throughout the day, I'm going to serve other people in your name. We're going to have people down front. The worship team is coming forward. This is your time to start that response, to say, I believe what Jesus told me today. I believe that he has the best life for me. So if you want to pray with someone about that, we'd love to do that. Let's all start by praying together. Jesus, I thank you that you are not a zebra. That when we give to you, we get something out of it. And Jesus, I pray you'd help us every day this week to open up our life to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.